Everyone, welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. Ryan Ballingy, good to have you here with us. Get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. Get a hold of Golf News Net on your favorite social media service at the handle Golf News Net. And you can download our apps for Amazon Fire, Roku TVs. All of our work is at golfnewsnet.com. As well, check out our friends at our sister site, golftripx.com, for all of your golf travel needs. And make sure you come join me at Sweetens Cove Golf Club in August. It's our first listener, audience, whatever trip. It's going to be at Sweetens Cove. We're going to take over the golf course for 2 days. We have it to ourselves. We have it locked and paid for. All you have to do is show up, pay $350, which is an incredibly good deal, to be able to play basically unlimited golf at Sweetens Cove for 2 straight days. We're going to have prizes, contests, food, drinks, all kinds of great time. So head over to golftripx.com, check that out, and I would love to see you there with us in Tennessee in August. It's right near Chattanooga, which is also one of my favorite small cities in the United States. And it just really is a good, cool place to be. So we're going to have a great, great time. All right, so on this show, I wanted to kind of dig in a little bit further, I guess, on what happened with Hank Haney on his SiriusXM PGA Tour radio show the other day. We're recording this on Thursday. This happened on Wednesday. He was doing his show with his regular co-host, Steve Johnson. And they're on each weekday on the PGA Tour network station, PGA Tour radio station, SiriusXM. It's 208 and I think 92, depending on whether you have XM or Sirius or whichever radio that you have. And the interesting thing is he starts out the show this way. He starts out the show by disparaging the U.S. Women's Open and the LPGA, and he makes remarks that I, and I think pretty much anyone who kind of thinks forward, would consider these remarks racist and sexist, and I think they're worth listening to, but I kind of want to pick through it a little bit and get into it with you. So I'm going to play the audio. It's about 45 seconds or so. Play that, and then I'm going to come back.
Open, Hank. The 74th. Oh, it is. 74th, okay. U.S. Women's Open. Yeah.
I'm going to predict a Korean.
Okay.
Okay.
That's a pretty safe bet. Pretty
That's
safe
gonna
bet.
That's going to be my prediction.
Okay.
I couldn't name you like six players on the LPGA Tour.
Yeah.
Nah, maybe yeah. I could. I don't know. Well, I'd go with Lee. If I didn't have to name a first name, I'd get a bunch of them right. But
you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, I don't know.
You got six Lees.
Honestly, Michelle Wee's hurt. I mean, she's not. Yeah. You know, I don't know many. But anyway, where are they playing? By the way,
Country Club of Charleston.
Okay. Oh, that's a good course. Yeah. That's a good course. That's really good.
So that's pretty racist. That's pretty sexist, what Hank Haney said. And I think it's really easy to understand that, although there was some very limited pushback to my comments on Twitter saying, you know, you don't have to be a fan of the LPGA, but you can't say racist and sexist stuff if you're someone who has the power of influence in such a large platform as Haney does, that it just doesn't work. Like, you can't do that, and there should be a punishment if you're in this position, that you can't represent golf, you can't be a golf influence and say, you know, I could name six Lees on the LPGA, har 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 har, you know, all the girls are faceless golf robots, har har har. That's fundamentally what he's saying here. And you know, put aside for 1 second that whether you think it's racist or sexist or not, or whether you think it falls short of that standard, I don't know how, but whether you think it falls short of that standard is just a comment made in bad taste or a horrible remark that falls somehow short of that bar. Take those things aside for a second and just consider for a second that Hank Haney literally didn't know it was the U.S. Women's Open this week. What the hell are you doing with a SiriusXM show? And I realize it's the PGA Tours Network, but what the hell are you doing with a SiriusXM show on one of the largest platforms that we have in the sport? They average hundreds of thousands of listeners a week, and they have a very loyal fan base. What the hell are you doing with a show if you don't know that the U.S. Women's Open's this week? That you have no idea that it's being played at the Country Club of Charleston? That you have no idea who's in the field. You have no idea around the news about it. You have no idea that it's the first Seth Rayner designed course to host the U.S. Open or U.S. Women's Open. That this is a big deal. This is a big week, not only for women's golf in the LPGA, but for golf in general. And you come on the air and spitballing with your host, just start going down a horrible, horrible path that he didn't, not only could not dig himself out of, but doubled down on later in the show. I don't have the audio of this, but toward the tail end of the show, as he was getting ready to sign off with Steve Johnson, he realized that there was quite a bit of blowback to what he said on social media, and Haney acts like he had no idea what he said. And I don't even remember what I said. I'm sorry I offended anybody. That kind of thing, you know. Not I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry if I offended anybody, which is totally different than actually apologizing for something. If you're putting a condition on it, I'm sorry if I offended you. No, you should just be sorry that you said it. And I think that that's a very important distinction. That if no one had given him blowback, if Jerry Foltz of Golf Channel had not heard it and put it on blast and shared it on social media, if Sam Marks from Golf Channel and I had written stories about it and blown it up, if people weren't made aware of this through those means, then Haney would have just gone on doing this. He wouldn't have cared. It wouldn't have mattered to him that this came up, that he said these things. And because he wouldn't have been called out for it, he just would have felt comfortable continuing to do it because he feels comfortable ripping on everybody. He routinely rips on the USGA. I understand they deserve it sometimes. He routinely rips on Mike Davis. He rips on other equipment companies. He rips on people like MyGolfSpy. He feels, I guess, entitled, I don't know, empowered, with whatever the right word is, to rip on all kinds of different organizations in golf. And that is fine to have an opinion. It is fine to have an opinion. But your opinion in the 21st century can't be rooted in racist and sexist ideas, particularly if you are somebody who has a position of influence. And I said this to my mom about a local broadcaster here in the Baltimore area. Her name is Mary Bubala, and she was an anchor for, I think, 12, 15 years at the Baltimore CBS station called WJZ. I live in the D.C. area now, so I don't really get that station day to day. But a couple of weeks ago, when the current mayor, or then current mayor of Baltimore, Catherine Pugh, resigned, she had a guest on to talk about the resignations of the last few mayors of the city of Baltimore. You had Sheila Dixon, Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, and Catherine Pugh. And two of them faced criminal charges or resigned in disgrace. And Mary Bubala asked the question of one of her guests and said, well, we've had three African-American female mayors as the last three mayors. Two of them resigned, and one of them was not particularly successful. Is it time for new leadership in Baltimore? Basically implying that African-American women shouldn't be mayors because these three particular people didn't do a great job or found themselves in controversy or found themselves arraigned and charged and going to jail. And that cost her job. She was fired. I mean, she apologized right quick, too. She realized what she had said, whether it was in her intention or not, probably offended a lot of people. And she apologized, and I think she apologized earnestly. I don't think she was trying, based on her apology and how quickly it came and what she said, I don't think she was trying to communicate anything untoward about race or racist, but it was interpreted as such. And that cost her a job she's been part of for more than a decade. And it forced her out of the Baltimore TV market in a snap. So for Hank Haney to be in this position, someone who not inadvertently said this, but purposefully said this, he led his show with this. This wasn't just some kind of flip discussion. This was a talking point. Because if you do radio, I mean, I know there are plenty of people who do radio almost completely unprepared for what is actually going to happen. But usually the first segment of the show, you have some sense of what the hell's going on. And Haney went right down that lane, went right down that trope of, oh, there are a lot of Korean girls on the LPGA. You know, I can name a bunch of Lees. Well, I mean, if you were going to go there, you might as well have just gone full-blown racist. You might as well have gone full-way sexist, just gone all the way with it, and let it all hang out. Because this should, I believe this should, cost Hank Haney his job. You shouldn't have this kind of platform if you say things like this and take this kind of lazy approach to talking about the sport. I don't care if you're on PGA Tour Radio and it's the PGA Tour's channel. You need to be able to talk about golf intelligently as played by men and women, amateur and professional, high level, collegiate, professional, whatever. You need to be able to do that. And you need to be able to treat people with dignity and respect. Again, I have no problem with having an opinion. And someone posed to me on Twitter this morning before I recorded this, would I be upset if Haney had simply said, I think the LPGA is an inferior product, or something like, I don't care about women's golf? No, I wouldn't, because that's his prerogative. You don't, as I tweeted, you don't have to like the LPGA. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that about anybody or anything. You don't have to be a fan of anything I'm a fan of. You don't have to be a fan of anything. That you make your personal choices. However, if you find yourself in a position like Hank Haney, where you have a huge audience, you make a lot of money, and you connect with golfers, you are one of their lifelines to this sport. If you're in a position like that, and you communicate the things that he did on his radio show, then you lose that opportunity. You lose that pedestal. You can't do that. Moving forward, you can't do that. And if you do, if you continue to do this, and if SiriusXM doesn't get rid of him, if the PGA Tour doesn't call for his head, then by association, the PGA Tour is okay with that. They're okay with that kind of remark. If you're Callaway Golf, which is one of the largest sponsors on PGA Tour Radio, but particularly of Haney's show, if you stick with him, you are tacitly okaying that kind of remark. You got to walk away from the guy. You just have to, because that's going to get you crushed if you continue to support that guy. And I was very curious what would happen this morning in the blowback of all of this. You know, Christine Brennan from USA Today said, basically, Haney should be ostracized from the sport forever. I think that's a little much, to be honest with you. I don't think Haney's viewpoints are particularly helpful, but I don't even know how you ostracize someone from golf. You just can't do it. It doesn't exist. There's no mechanism to do it. However, I was curious if SiriusXM would let Haney, who issued an apology on Twitter, by the way, I don't really believe it, but he issued an apology on Twitter, primarily because he probably realized his job was on the line. But he wasn't on the air on Thursday. Normally, the lead-in to Hank Haney Golf Radio, as the show is called, is from 8 to 10. That's A New Breed of Golf with Michael Breed. They reran that episode from 8 to 10, from 10 to 12. So they just went with reruns. They're going to do that at least until Monday. If you look at the schedule for the station on SiriusXM website, that is that's the situation. He won't be back on until at least Monday. Now, we probably will give it the weekend to figure out what to do, and I'm sure at some point SiriusXM will have to make some kind of actual statement about it. I reached out to a couple of people that I know who work at SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, off the record, on the record. Radio silence, and I think they don't want to get themselves into hot water by saying something that may be out of school or out of turn. I think they want to allow the folks of the PGA Tour and SiriusXM to figure this out, but I would not be shocked if Hank Haney is done as a host on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. The only caveat to all of this is that the revenue model for SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio is different than, frankly, most arrangements, in that the host derives their salary as a percentage of the money that they bring in through advertising. So the station gets a cut, the talent gets a cut. So Hank Haney makes good money for SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. I mean, he has a number of relationships he has been able to parlay into sponsorship. He has like this pain cream he talks about, Callaway Golf, some other stuff too. Greens, a green installer that does artificial greens in your backyard or your business or whatever. He has a number of those sponsors. And so the caveat might be if those sponsors stick around, then Haney could stick around. I'm very curious about that. We'll see what happens on Monday, and we'll just go from there, I suppose. But I was fully prepared to just go on full blast on SiriusXM on PGA Tour Radio. Not the folks who host shows, you know, who sandwich those shows, because I like Dave Marr. He's been great to have me on his show once or twice since he took over from Matt Adams. He's a stand-up guy. I like him personally. I like the Paulsons, Carl and Dennis. They're not brothers, but the Paulsons who do Inside the Ropes, they're great. They've had me on a couple of times. They are fun guys. They are great, fun-loving advocates for golf. Michael Breed's a great guy. Very good guy. He works extremely hard and does a great job with his show, I think, in terms of talking to golfers about their game. Does great with that. And then, obviously, I'm very partial to Katrick and McGinnis. Brian Katrick and John McGinnis are some of the best people I've ever met in golf. And I am happy to call them friends of mine, well beyond just talking about golf. They're great, great people. So I really don't have any issue with anything other than the idea of keeping Hank Haney around. So I'm curious what'll go on from this weekend. I'm sure there'll be some discussions. We'll kind of get a sense of what's going on. And then Haney and Steve Johnson's fate will be revealed at some point. And I hope that this isn't just a duck and cover to kind of let him get through the blowback from this and then to just resume his show, because I'm not going to let this go. I don't think that this is okay. If, I guess, for the folks that are kind of saying, well, he's just telling the truth, you know, there are, I understand that there are plenty of Korean players on the LPGA. There are also plenty of players in the United States and Canada and Australia and Spain and England and Canada and all kinds of other countries. And I have, whatever, it doesn't matter where people come from. But when you make it a matter of where people come from, and that's why you don't care, and that's why you make fun of them, now you've ventured into territory where your commentary is racist and sexist. And at a certain point, you just have to draw a line and go, yeah, I mean, he could, and Haney could have easily said what he intended to say, what he was trying to communicate here with this gibberish racist word salad. He could have communicated this intelligently. He bothered to take 1 second to think about what came out of his mouth. He could have said, you know, Americans are struggling on the LPGA this season. They are not doing nearly as well as they did last year when Americans won 9 times and Koreans won 10 times to lead the way of wins among country count. I think several of the Korean-born players, Se-young Kim, Hyo-joo Kim, you know, you could kind of go through it and start going, okay, well, these are the players who have done extremely well this year on the LPGA. Here's who I like to win. And while that may not have been a fully vetted analysis, at least it would have sounded about right. And he could have communicated his point that he believes Koreans are dominating the LPGA without going down this path. But that, again, that's not what he wanted to do. If he wanted to do that, if he held that opinion, he could have said that. That's not what he did. So, hopefully the right thing is done here by everyone involved. I think we should ultimately forgive people who want to be contrite and want to demonstrate a willingness to do better. I don't think you should automatically ostracize somebody because they make a bad mistake. I think you pay a penance, and then you get a chance to make good on it as best you can. And if you choose to make good on it, then you're welcome back into the communities where you've been shunned in a lot of cases. You pay your debt to society, so to speak. And if you just say, I'll take the consequences and go away and don't do anything to make it right and don't do anything to get better, that is also your choice. But that means you don't get your spot back. That means you don't get your status back. I'm wondering what Haney's going to choose, and I'm wondering what SiriusXM is going to choose. So we'll see how that plays out over the course of the weekend. I want to take a quick stop here to tell you about my friends at ShotScope. I've been using ShotScope this year to track my golf performance using their platform, which is a mixture of a GPS watch, which you wear on your wrist when you play golf, which tracks your shots, tracks your placement and distance, and then maps it onto a GPS of a map of your golf course that you're playing that day. gives you feedback on every club that you're hitting, how far you hit it, how often you hit fairways and targets with it, the strokes you gain with them, and you get a good sense of what you're doing on the golf course. And with all of that data, you can learn more about yourself as a golfer, where you need to improve, and what you can do about it. And I've had some great results so far with ShotScope. I've played really solid golf this year, to be honest with you. But I've learned some things about my game that I kind of knew but never put into actual terms that you look at and go, wow. For example, I hit a lot of short irons. I don't play very long golf courses. My home course is just 6,500 yards from the tip, 6,600. I think they maxed it out a little bit. But it's not very difficult for me to just bang driver around the golf course and hit wedge, 9-iron, 8-iron into a lot of holes. And so most of my golf is played with short irons in hand. And believe it or not, I'm not that great of a short iron player. Not the best wedge player in the world. And the thing that using ShotScope has done for me so far is to drive the point home to me that if I'm going to practice golf, I'm going to get better at golf, I need to be a more versatile wedge player. I need to be a deadlier wedge player. I need to have half, three-quarter, full swing shots for each of the clubs. I need to be able to hit them low, high, and medium. And that's just not a repertoire I have right now. And so for me to become a better golfer, I know the steps forward I need to take. And ShotScope's helped me figure that out. So head over to ShotScope.com. You can check out more for yourself. It's very reasonably priced in the $180 range for the entire platform. There aren't annual fees like there are with competitors, which is great. You shouldn't be paying $100 a year just to track your game. You buy in, you get to use it, and it's great. You also get the added benefit of having a GPS watch, which, I mean, you pay $180 just to have that unto itself. And then you get the shot tracking component. It is one hell of a bargain. So go to ShotScope.com, check it out, or head over to GolfNewsNet.com, and you can read my stories explaining my experience with ShotScope. All right, back into the podcast and what's going on this week on the PGA Tour. So we've got Memorial this week, Jack's Place, Muirfield Village, Dublin, Ohio. Tiger is the headliner, going for a sixth win, going for his 82nd PGA Tour recognized win. We'll come back to that idea in a second. And it's the place where he also tied Jack for 73 wins in 2012, which was one of the greatest professional golf tournament finishes I've ever seen in person. It was incredible to watch because of the chip in Tiger had on 16 that honestly none of us thought he was going to make, and we're all kind of looking the other way waiting to get to 17 when this enormous roar comes up from the crowd, realizing he's made birdie, he's holed out, and he's going to win the golf tournament pretty much. Was really incredible. I mean, honestly, one of the great atmospheres I've ever been a part of in a golf tournament. And the PGA Tour and Jack do it right. They do it right at the Memorial. They've elevated the tournament in recent years. I think last year was the first year they bumped up the purse to $9.1 million. I think it was $8.9 last year. And they now give you a three-season exemption for winning the tournament instead of two. Same thing with the Arnold Palmer. And I believe they're going to do the same thing to the Genesis Open Riviera. So that's going to become an invitational tournament next year. It's going to be basically Tiger's tournament starting next year with a 120-player field invitational as opposed to how it is now, which is kind of an open full-field event. So this is going to be a big deal. This is a big week, especially for a up-and-coming or rank-and-file player, because if they can pick off a win, that gives them an extra year of security, gives them an extra boost of money, because you're getting just money from a high purse. It's close to a WGC. It's close to a FedEx Cup playoff event in terms of the purse. And it's just a big deal to win at Jack's course, I think. For the guys who have won in recent memory, I mean, you had Bryson DeChambeau won last year, the first year with the three-year exemption. You have William McGirt. You've had guys who've won this tournament who maybe they did it kind of out of nowhere at times. Jason Duffner comes to mind. He won from kind of a bad place in his life and got back into the top of the world rankings, you know, the top 50. And you do it on this golf course with ball striking. I mean, it is a golf course where every facet of your game is actually tested. For our GNN Plus members, we went over this data leading into the tournament for our predictions. But if you look at how strokes gained are allocated on a percentage basis for Muirfield Village versus other PGA Tour courses, and certainly against Colonial the week prior, you notice that there's much more balance in the allocation of top 20 and top 25 finishers at that golf course than pretty much any other on the PGA Tour. You need to gain a less percentage of strokes on the approach. You need to gain slightly more driving. You need to gain slightly more putting, and you need to gain a whole lot more chipping. And so it all kind of boils down to a pretty well-balanced test that you can score on if you're playing great and you're putting well. And you can get eaten alive if you're driving it poorly and can't extricate yourself from some pretty nasty stuff. And there's plenty of trouble to be found, and there's plenty of scoring to be had. And I think it's going to be a great tournament. It usually is. It'll be nice to see Tiger, obviously, a part of the mix. I know people are kind of looking for some kind of bounce back from the miscut of the PGA Championship. I think you're going to get that. I think we're going to see from Tiger a guy who is getting ready for the U.S. Open in a way he has gotten ready for the U.S. Open in the past. It was different getting ready for the PGA. He didn't go through any kind of normal preparation. First of all, because he's never played the PGA Championship in May. But second, even if we're just the players he was preparing for, he didn't do it the way he normally would, where you would play Wells Fargo and then you would play the players. Well, he was going to play Wells Fargo and then play the PGA. But he didn't really prepare mentally or physically after winning the Masters, so he took a couple weeks off and said, you know what, I'm not going to show up and make an ass of myself and then invite all these questions and self-doubt. I'm just going to show up at Bethpage and kind of hope it all works out. And it didn't. He looked rusty. He looked bad. And then the week of the championship probably only made it worse because he only played 9 holes on Monday, skipped practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and didn't see the rest of the golf course. His wedge play looked weak. His putting pacing was awful. And that probably alone not only cost him making the cut, which was a shot difference, but it cost him being in red figures going into the weekend, which could have been a different story altogether. Maybe he finishes in the top 5 or top 6 if he finds himself at least closer to the lead and in red figures heading to the weekend. Ultimately, that wasn't the case, and so he went home. Now he gets to prepare for the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, where he had his greatest major championship performance and perhaps put up the greatest major championship performance in the history of golf by preparing the way he wants. He's going to play Memorial, take some time off, go out to California. He's already taken a look at Pebble Beach. He said it's kind of wet. It's going to be long. It's going to be nasty to play. That's pretty much what everyone expects for a U.S. Open, a USGA setup at Pebble. Kind of tight fairways, taking out a lot of the course elements, especially the wider course elements like bunkering. Take them out of play altogether. You're never going to get there unless you fly your ball in there. And they're going to make you play basically straight up and down golf. And it's going to look a lot like Bethpage. So the question for Tiger is, can he put the ball in play? Which I think he can do that. I don't think that's a big problem. It's not a long golf course. It's not like Bethpage. I mean, it's 400 yards shorter. So I don't think that's the issue. The question is his wedge play and his putting good enough to extricate himself from bad situations when he gets in them and to avoid situations like on 14, which is par 5, where he might not hit a good wedge shot and put himself in a bad spot to try to make par or birdie. So there's going to be plenty of defensive golf at Pebble Beach. It's not going to be an onslaught, I don't think, unless Tiger finds something between here and there. And I don't think Koepka is going to play particularly aggressive golf at Pebble Beach. I don't think that's going to be the way the championship is set up. But at least in terms of the preparation, he's going to get at least a couple of rounds in here and get a sense of where his game is after a couple of weeks off and then start to get in that mode, get through that training program, getting to the U.S. Open. I can't wait. I wish I was going to be going out there. My son graduates from kindergarten on June 12th, so I'm not missing that for the world. There's a ceremony and everything. Not missing that. Otherwise, I would be out there happy as a clam looking at the Monterey Peninsula, walking the golf course, having a great, great time. But family takes precedence. Sometimes there's different priorities in life, as I'm sure many, many of you know. And I'm very happy to be right where I am, being able to go to my son's kindergarten graduation. So meanwhile, we've got Memorial to unfold. We've got the U.S. Women's Open unfolding. We've got a couple of other events. We've got the Belgian Knockout, which is going to be a really fun early morning event for people. If you get to catch it on Golf Channel on the weekend, it's metal match play after 36 holes of qualifying. They're 9-hole matches. 64 players get to the weekend, all seeded, and then they play a bracket style in 9-hole matches where the total score is the winning score, not hole by hole. So that's what metal match play is. And they're going to get down to a winner. It's going to be a really fun event. It was last year. It should be again this year. And then if you didn't get enough golf from all of that, you got the Rex Hospital Open with Kyle Thompson coming out of semi-retirement to try to win yet again at that tournament, which would be pretty incredible, actually. And then you have the Principal Charity Classic in Des Moines, Iowa, which is a fun event on PGA Tour Champions. I would love to actually go to the Des Moines event. I think Des Moines, Iowa is kind of one of those cities that might kind of be not a beatnik city, not a hipster city, but sort of hipster Midwest from what I've read about it and what I kind of come to know about it. So I would love to actually get to the Des Moines tournament someday. A friend of mine, Brian Snow, who you might know from Gupp's Corner if you're in the DFS world, played in the Pro-Am, and he's going to be up there throughout the course of the week because he's got some family who got a spot in the Pro-Am or sponsors and with their company. So very cool for him. It's a great experience. And Brandel Chamblee is actually in that field. There's no cut on PGA Tour Champions week to week. It's just full field events. So he's going to get to play all three rounds. I'm very curious what he's going to do after he qualified for the Senior British Open last year. And he represented himself pretty well for a guy who hardly plays any competitive golf. So that'll be something to watch, too. If you can't get enough golf this weekend, you've got five really good events to check out for various different storylines and purposes and all that. Then before you know it, we are at Pebble Beach, and the U.S. Open is coming fast and furious. Kind of like these majors a month idea. I really do like that. And then before you know it, we're going to be at Royal Portrush for the Open Championship in Northern Ireland, which is a day I don't think a lot of people in golf ever thought was going to happen, and that's going to come to fruition in just about a month and a half, which is pretty incredible, too. And then that's the last major of the year. Then we conclude the quote-unquote season of championships with the FedEx Cup playoffs and the PGA Tour season in August with a $15 million FedEx Cup champion in that weird handicapping system, which should be an absolute CF to watch. Could be a lot of fun for that reason. And then we get right back into the new season we're already in September now, thinking about Greenbrier, which I will probably go to this year and check out the event there. So, lots coming down the road, but let's stay 1 week at a time. We've got some good tournaments this week, lots to cover, lots to think about. Head over to golfnewsnet.com for all your golf news and information that matters. Sign up for GNN Plus. It's $5 a month, $50 a year. It gives you access to kind of all the things I'm working on, reading on, writing about, talking about, filming and thinking about in terms of the world of golf. And it would be a thrill to have you join us and become part of our growing membership there. So thanks as always for listening to our show. Please make sure to give us a 5-star review if you listen to us on iTunes. Helps us reach more people. And if you listen to us through any other format or any other platform and you just have a comment or question, get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com or on Twitter. Pretty much always available at Ryan Ballingy. Until next time, I'm Ryan Ballingy saying thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.